When you're down and you're out and you don't think you have a friend, when you're lost in the doubt and you can't see what's around the bend, just hold on, don't turn around, keep on walking, don't lose heart.
Good evening. Thank you for coming back to Assurance Baptist Church. Let's stand and sing.
Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. And
shake someone's hand.
Well, I've never got over that I am not under the bondage of sin anymore. And I'm still amazed that Jesus would pay a debt I could not afford. And I've never got past that I'm free at last from the sin that made me a slave.
Good evening, good evening. If we could work our way back to our seats. Let's continue to praise our Lord and Savior by singing Because He Lives. He lives, I can face tomorrow. Singing Lead Me to Calvary, page 176, first, third, and last verse. And by turning to page 364, singing, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
Thank you. Good afternoon. Well, I hope all you got a wonderful nap in this afternoon. I didn't get the greatest nap. I was sitting there telling the Harrises when they got here that I was trying to nap in the fellowship hall, and Braxton told Megan, "Shh, Daddy's sleeping." And I hear that, and so I kind of, woke up a little bit, and Braxton comes over and smacks me right dead in the head, and I said, "Okay, I'm awake." And so then I kind of dozed back off again, and Maisley woke up from her nap, and she thought it was funny that Bubba smacked me in the head, so she started smacking me in the head. So this and therefore, I didn't get the greatest nap, so hopefully you guys had something better. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14. Job is, some of you guys know, is my favorite book, favorite person to learn from in the Bible, in my opinion. Job, he went through a lot of hardship, but he never lost his faith on the Lord. He never cursed God like his wife did. His wife says, "Curse God or you shall die." And he says, "Oh, I ain't doing that." But Job, we're going to learn something here this afternoon. And in Job 14, if you would stand in honor of God's word, and we're going to read the first 9 verses here. Job 14, it says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doth thou open thy eyes upon such an one and bridest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him, he that may rest, till he shall accomplish and are hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will be sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man dieth and wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he?" Lord, we thank you for this wonderful afternoon in your house. Thank you for everyone that's here. And Lord, I ask that you'd put me to the side and that you'd speak through me. Lord, that someone might need to hear this message tonight. And Lord, that we're again thankful for what you do for us and things that you'll continue to do. In your name I pray, amen. You guys may be seated. So, my title for this afternoon, this evening, is The Scent of Water. Water is... I've been drinking a lot of it today. I see what Preacher goes through is talking a lot. I don't drink a lot of water, but today I have been because my throat's been killing me. But water is good for many things. It's good for watering plants that Bud's not good at when Miss Nancy tells him to. Water's good at, for the body. Water's good for all the trees and everything that's around. Water's good for a lot of things. And so, the scent of water, the plight of the tree is my first point here. Letter A, the tree that has endured destruction. Here in verse 7 we see, "For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." You know, there's hope. A lot of people says there's no hope in certain things. And when a doctor says there's no hope, well, that's just a doctor. When a man says that there's no hope, that's just a man. When such and such says there's no hope, that's just such and such. But there's hope because we live for God. And so here in verse 2, he mentions that a person's life is like a flower. But in verse 7, he again mentions a tree. Full of beauty, full of possibilities, full of delight and joy and blessing, full of life and grandeur and glory, only to be cut down. Some of us are going through some hardships in life right now, and we feel like we've been going straight through a storm. We've been beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down, and we can't see the other side. You know, the cool thing is that there's hope for you. You know, there's times when we think there's no hope, and man, my car broke down, my house caught on fire, and I don't know how I'm going to get past this. You know, I was sitting there when I was going through this message, I was sitting there thinking of the tornadoes that came by. Don't ask me the year. I don't have that great of the memory, but it was just a few years ago. And, you know, a lot of those people, they said there's no hope. But the thing is that they're still alive. Amen. They can say that there's no hope, but they're still here. You know, there's a lot of things that go on in life. If it's a broken down car, if it's a messed up house, if it's a messed up relationship and that you just wish that things were the right way, well, there's hope. So maybe from a disaster, from a storm, large trees with lots of roots, there's a lot of people that are broken from the storms of life. From health storms, emotional storms, from satanic storms, from addiction storms, from financial storms. All those storms that we can still get through if we have our focus on the Lord. You know, we see here that in verse 7, for there is hope. I underline this in my Bible because sometimes we forget that there's hope. Sometimes we, again, like I said this morning, our peewee-sized brains, we just look straight over the simplest thing that God says, hey, there's hope. You know, Job, going back to the very beginning when God says, hey, Satan, you can do whatever you want to this man. He's an upright man, and he's as close as perfect as it can get, and you can do whatever you want to him, but you can't kill him. And he did all this stuff to him, took his family, took his kids, took his house, and he saw that, hey, you know, where he was still human, he still said, God, why is we're still questioning God, but he saw that there was still hope. If you keep going, if you ever read through Job at the very last chapter, we see that God blessed him with more children. You know, sometimes we just got to realize that there's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And you know, there's all kinds of people that's been around us that has been beaten and abused and are broken from evil people. This world's an evil place. And going through Bible study, there's a lot of people in school that's very wicked. I told this story to the teens, and I'm just excited just to tell this story because it's finally seeing another kid that's sold out in a public school. He came last year one time, and they never came again. I don't know if I scared him away. I don't know if I was just ugly looking. I don't know what happened. But he came back, and he says, hey, I'm ready. I want to be the person that leads See You at the Pole. See You at the Pole is next Wednesday, or maybe it's this Wednesday. I'm getting ahead of it, but he's like, I want to lead See You at the Pole. It has to be student-led. And I said, cool, man. That's exciting to know. And he's sitting there, started quoting scripture after scripture, and sitting there talking to this kid. A type of group, LGBTQ person, asked the kid, what do you believe on this? And the kid says, I don't believe in it at all. I don't remember what Bible verse he told me, but he gave some scripture to it. And this kid got upset from what the, you know, Bible study kid told him. So the next day the kid went to school and told the principal, and the principal called up the Bible study kid and said, well, you know, there's a time to talk about Jesus and there's a time not to talk about Jesus. And he says, and this was the time not to talk about Jesus. And that Bible study kid says, well, I got some news for you, and I'm going to talk about Jesus whenever I want. You know, it's very exciting knowing that when more and more people get excited for Christ, especially at a young age, more and more people will start looking up to those people. It doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how old or young you are, doesn't matter how tall, big, fat, whatever it is, there's hope. So there's a lot of evil people in this world. You know, verse 8, we see that the tree that had experienced decayed. Says, though the root thereof waxed old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. Though the root was old in the earth. And again, it's what causes that is a result of disease, which is a sickness, insects, a wide variety of diseases cause the roots to die. You know, you think, I've always tell the teens, choose the right friends, because even just thinking of if you're hanging around the wrong friends, those wrong friends are going to eventually make you have a disease. They're going to end up putting something in you that's going to be hard to get away from. Just from my testimony in my past, knowing that I was in church, out of church, and finally God convicted my heart and says, I've finally got to go all in, is that you got to get away from those people. And so knowing that this sickness and the insects and the wide variety of diseases causes the roots to die, but the result of drought, it had no water for so long that the roots has withered and become rotten. We need water. Water is a very important thing. See, the tree has encountered death in verse 8, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. Death usually speaks of finality. Death speaks of no future, and death speaks of no feelings. You know, when something dies, it just dies at that point. And if you have a soul, you either die and go to heaven, or you die and you go to hell. And the thing is that it doesn't matter really what you died from, but it matters that you did the most important thing, is either you trusted the Lord or you didn't. And so here, too, the possibilities of the tree. Verse 7 starts out with a powerful statement, for there is hope. But never underestimate the power of hope. When man says there is no hope, there is no hope. When the doctor said there is no hope, there is always hope. And when the family walks away saying there is no hope, there is hope. And when the preacher takes one long look at you and thinks there is no hope, there is hope. As long as there is a God in heaven, there is hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Put your faith in God and there is hope. Again, a lot of us, we just don't think about it, and we just look over. We just kind of just, we fly right over the things. But the most important thing is if God's in it, there's hope. And Ephesians chapter 2 says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. It is easy for you to drag someone, something or someone into the hopeless column, but with God there is hope. It's easy to say, hey, I'm not going to go to church no more, so I'm going to bring so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so with me, and then that wipes out your whole family. You know, the cool thing is out of my family, out of my dad and my mom got a divorce, my dad's parents got a divorce, my mom's parents got a divorce, and so out of my family, me and my sister are the first ones to say, hey, we're committed. There's hope. You know, God says that it doesn't matter going through the hard things, the easy things, we got to get through it. Romans 4, verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. 19. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God. You know, having faith, going to that very last verse there, in verse 20, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong with faith. We got to have strong with faith. We got to have strong faith. And again, like I said this morning, we can't just put a little bit of us into the Lord. We got to have full-fledged, 100% Lord, have it all. going here into Lamentations chapter 3, 18 through 24. It says, "And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great in thy faithfulness." It's a wonderful song. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." The verse stuck out just because, again, hope, maybe it's just myself, but we just kind of just think over things. We just, my mind, it's always running. I feel like here lately, anyway, I don't know what it is, the second child, my mind just, I think something's coming in the house. I don't know if maybe because I have a baby girl. I don't know, but my mind's always running. I don't know, maybe it's because the older I get, I wake up more through the night. I don't know what it is. But the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in him. You know, God only sent his son to die on the cross for our sin so we could have hope in him. Three is the prescription for the tree. The only thing that tree needs, according to verse 9, "Yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." It needed a scent of water. What a statement. You know, sometimes we just need to be lifted up. And you think of going through, if you study your Bible, you read your Bible, going through even just the New Testament alone, is you see what water is good for people. You think of the woman at the well. You know, there's a lot of amazing things here. Even though you could be down in the dumps, you could be going through the worst nightmare of your life at the moment, but the thing is once you get to the other side, you can look back and say, I had hope. This tree, it just needed a scent of water. It just needed the main ingredient. For the child of God that has been cut down by storms of life and experience destruction, we see here, notice the two words in these three verses that paint the same picture. Hope, verse 7, for there's hope. And verse 9, yet the scent of water will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. There was hope for this tree. So the scent of water can be anything. It can be a message from God's word that speaks directly and boldly to your heart. It could be a Bible verse in your morning devotion that God uses to meet a need in your life. It could be a church service where the Holy Spirit revives the slumbering chords and rekindles the flames. It could be a testimony by one of your brothers or sisters in the Lord that brings a tear to your eye. It could be a song sung with God's touch on it that reminds you of just how God has been good to you. It could be an answer prayer that reaffirms your faith in God's love for you. It could be a special act of kindness by someone that shows their love and appreciation for, which I feel like, in my opinion, is that that's something we're good at. It could also be, the very last thing here, is a move of God in the church that reveals his long-term plan for growth and health. But the thing is that scent of water, we can't just let it run past. Once we, that scent of water, once we smell it, once we get it, we got to be excited. We can't be a little lump on a log like, yeah. Some of you guys leave church on Sundays and Wednesdays and say, well, that was an okay message. Well, that today was an all right day. In all reality, anytime that you're in God's house, it should be a wonderful day. Amen. Anytime that you're being fed by the word of God, it should be a wonderful day. And if there's an issue with that, again, it goes back to your heart. You need to come up here and get on your knees and start praying. But the thing here is, for the unbeliever that has been cut down and destroyed by sin, devastated and dead, the scent of water can be just as simple as this. And this is where myself could do better at. Handing out gospel tracts or leave them on their door. It could be a spirit-filled soul winner that cares enough about their soul to ask them about it. It could be as simple as a Christian radio broadcast. It could be a preaching message shared on their saved friend's social media page. Or it could be a Bible verse shared in love and compassion. You know, going through this is important, is for the unbelieving world, the child of God is a scent of water. The scent of water can revive a tree that has suffered unimaginable things. Thanks be to God, the scent of water can resurrect the destroyed life, the decayed life, and the dead life. It will produce, we see here in verse 7, for there is hope of a tree. It can be cut down that it will sprout again. You know, we see here that it will have life. It will be able to sprout again. Proverbs 13:12, it says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. I already mentioned this one, but the woman at the well said, I perceive, I smell something I've never smelled before. The soldier at the foot of the cross said, never man spake like this man. This is a new scent. Thomas is in the upper room cried, my Lord and my God, I was about to give up, but I smell water. Peter is fishing in the boat, threw his fisherman coat over him, cast himself into the water, crying, it is the Lord. The Ethiopian eunuch got a whiff of water while reading Isaiah 53 in the chariot. Paul on the road to Damascus said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I believe he smelled water. Letter B, longevity, verse 7, will not cease. You go down here to the very end of that, it says, will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. You know, John 4:14, it says, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again, or never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into the everlasting life. The disciples in Acts 1, as they tarried in the upper room, smelled a scent of water when the Holy Spirit came. They may have been fearful and doubted, but when God showed up, that little nucleus came alive. Jesus was ascended, but he wasn't gone. They had the Holy Ghost, another comforter. We see C here is verse 9. It brings forth boughs. Yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. Pictures strength, growth, outreach, shade, a nesting place for birds and life. You know, it's amazing on how God works. When we're feeling down in the dumps and things aren't going the way like we should, and we just smell that water, we sprout up. You know, some of us, we're out of church, we're in a church, we're out of church, but the only reason you come back to church is because you smell the water. And when you fully bloom, everybody wants to be around you. When you're just kind of in and out, yeah, people will love on you, people will be there for you, but until you're fully 100% committed, godly people are not going to be around you much because they're afraid that you're just going to be the dead Christian as like the world sees that wants you to be, and now we're like, oh, and we try to help, but you just push us away. Dead Christians are harder to reach, in my opinion, than lost people. Because dead Christians think they know everything. Oh, I already did that. I already done that. Their heart's so hard. And it's going to take the sin of God to be able to bring them back to life. In Ezekiel 17:23, in the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs. Bear fruit and be goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl, every wing, and the shadow of branches thereof shall they dwell. So God is able to take the tree that has been cut down, destroyed, devastated by disease and drought and decay, and make it a bud again. To bring forth life, to have boughs and limbs that will provide life and shelter for others, all it takes is the scent of water. it doesn't just necessarily, you know, God will do what he has to do, but we got to be able to give God all. Both of these morning messages and tonight messages, to me, it ties together because for us to be a live tree, we got to be able to give God all so that he can produce. And so think, ask, well, how can I do that? Well, one is obviously you guys are here tonight, but being in God's house every chance the doors are open. Two, the Bible, preacher always yells at me when I say I'm going to read. But the Bible never says read. It just says to study thyself, or study to show thyself approved. We got to study the Bible. You say, well, what else? Well, the Great Commission, according to Matthew 19, that we got to go and tell the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I was sitting there, I heard a little kid, he says, preach to the creatures? I'm like, yeah, we're creatures. And he like looked at me, gave me like the old Dwayne Johnson eye, like, what in the world is this guy talking about? Well, sometimes you think some people are, to me, are creatures because they have some nasty mouths. And they're just like, woo, buddy, they need a lot of Jesus. But the thing is that they need the scent of water. They need the scent of water. But going through here, going back to Job and tying it all together, is that Job, he was in distress. He was sad. He was kept questioning God. He didn't know what to do. His friends kept trying to help, but it wasn't helping. He lost his wife and all this. And so I always just try to think of, man, how would you react if you were in Job's position? Would you do what his wife said and curse God and die? Or would you just run away and never show up or do anything again? Or would you be just like Job and like, God, well, why is this happening to me? You see everything that your friends, your family, maybe your coworkers, it looks like they're having the best life that possible, and there's you like just down in the dumps. How would you react? So going through the smell of water and going to this morning, you got to wait till the end until it's all over, is that it comes to being able to give in Jesus your all. To being able, there's a song called I Give You My All. And the thing is that, including myself, is that we give God 7/8. We give God everything besides just a little bit. Like I always tell the teens is that the number one thing that I personally struggle with is music. I can literally listen to music all day. It doesn't matter what type of music. Believe it or not, you guys probably laugh at me, but it's okay. Is that back in my day, I grew an afro, and I would try to freestyle to just some random beats in my room. And so a lot of times I sit there and listen to the beats and everything. Even when my kids and everything are home, sometimes I have to catch myself. Sometimes I'll even listen to music over before reading the Bible. Sometimes I'll listen to music before I pray. And that's just something I don't know what it is with music. But the thing is that we got to give our all. We got to put everything above. I'm not saying music is over my wife, but that's just something that I personally love. But we got to put our wife lower. You got to put your spouse lower. You got to be able, going through destruction, going through all the things in your life, you got to be able to say, I got hope in Christ. So if I can have eyes closed, head bowed. It was short and sweet tonight. But maybe some of you are going through a struggle. Maybe some of you are